Hallelujah. Have you been enjoying this? Amen. Glory. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Well, why don't we go ahead and just bring Mr. Gary on? Why don't, come on. Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, first off, I want to say thank you again. I always feel like I'm just home when I'm here. It's family. But I miss you all. Thank you for everything you've done and your friendship, your love. It's greatly appreciated. Go ahead and open up somewhere. I don't care. No. Let's go to Isaiah 55, I guess. This is a season now. The season we're in, the church is going to rise up to demonstrate to this world that we have a supernatural Father and that all things are possible with Him. And that not only are they possible, but that He loves this lost world. He not only wants to save the sinner, He wants to heal the sick, deliver the oppressed, help the poor so that they have food to eat. We're going to start demonstrating like our Lord demonstrated the real kingdom of God. But to do that, we've got to come up to a higher level. And I want to read to you again this tongues and it's very short, this tongue and interpretation that came in the Dayton, Ohio conference just a few weeks ago. And those of you that know me, as I'm not prone to prophesy during a service or but this one came, and I even resisted it a little bit, and he persisted, so I unresisted. I just called it Come Up Higher. He said, mysteries hidden, mysteries from the foundation of the world, brought forward this day by my Spirit in this hour and this generation, to purge the mind of my children from the falseness of the doctrine they have been taught from pulpits with good intentions by men that loved me, but they were deceived by religion, deceived by education, deceived by the ways of this world, and not taught by my Spirit. Come up higher, my children. Come up higher. Let my Spirit teach you the things of the realm that you are really from. That is exactly His message for this hour. That is exactly what's coming. And from the word that it's Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9 mainly. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now, without reteaching, I'm hoping that the images from the demonstrations, the hula hoop, the line, I hope they haunt you. Is that okay? Can I use the word haunt in church? I hope they keep you up at night. They do me. I keep thinking about, now when I get too busy with everyday busy stuff, I think about the Flatlander and how futile his efforts would be forever to try and get into the center of that hula hoop. No matter how much he tried, with Flatlander effort, with good intentions, no matter how many committees he formed, no matter how much businessmen he got to donate to his cause, without the supernatural help of an Earthlander, the Flatlander could never accomplish what needed to be accomplished. And that is right where we are with God. No matter all of our good intentions, all of our human effort, all of our committees, all of our education, all of our mailing lists, all of our travel, none of us can open Homer's eyes. None of us can save a lost person on our own. None of us can heal the sick, cast out devils. We have got to grow up and be taught from the realm that we're really from, by the teacher that's from that realm, that's been sent here to teach us. I thank God for Pastor Dave Roberson. Amen. who 40 years ago started relaying the foundation stones of how we are to be taught, and for all of the things that he had to chisel from stone almost out of solid religion to find that path once again that had been those foundation stones that had been laid by the first apostles. And I thank God that he pioneered the way for us and that we could learn from him. I talked with Pastor Dave this afternoon. He specifically asked me to greet you, tell you he's looking forward to seeing you in November, and he wishes he was here. So, and by the way, they had a tremendous meeting in Richmond, Virginia, and come to find out, he had helped that pastor and his wife 20-some-odd years ago when they had a storefront church, and he didn't know who they were now, and now they have, he didn't know this when he accepted the invitation. When he got there, it's a 10,000-member church. He said there was about 2,000 to 3,000 there on the Sunday night. He did a Sunday night and a Monday night. And at first, the pastor and his wife knew Dave, but all the people, who is this guy, you know? But it didn't take very long. He said he hardly, it wasn't 5 minutes and the miracles began. And as soon as they began seeing the demonstration of the Spirit, he said one guy actually jumped up out of a wheelchair and run off. Another one, Dave took his cane and threw it over against the wall and said, "You won't need that anymore," and that guy walked off. Well, praise God, it just went on and on. See, that's got to be normal. Not just Dave. Thank God for Dave. Thank God for Bronk. Thank God for everything. I thank God for the woman that I put my finger in her mouth. Thank God. Thank God she got some healing. Next time I'll swirl. No, I won't unless the Holy Ghost sings. You know, but whatever. That's got to become normal for us. That is exactly what the Holy Spirit is bringing us to do. Yes, sir. So I just hope, remember those images? He's using it, the way he's using it for me, if I get too busy, it's like I see the hula hoop and me running around it. That's exactly what I see. I see that hula hoop and me running around it, and he's going, "This is never going to get it done. You can't substitute earth, land, or work for Holy Spirit training." Boy, that was a good line right there. You cannot substitute earth, land, or work for Holy Spirit training. You can't do it. So let's go to Luke 11. There's so many things that, we could go 3 more weeks and now it wouldn't, So I was asking him, what's most important tonight? And there's two things that he wants to, it's not like you don't know them. Again, I'm always a little bit intimidated when I come here to teach because I know you already sat under one of the best teachers on planet Earth. You get really good teaching here. It's like going to Jim Martin's, I know what are you going to teach Jim's people, for crying out loud, But still yet, there's only one real teacher, and it's the Holy Spirit. And sometimes you can hear the same truth just said a little differently, and man, it'll press your button, And so Luke 11 is the second place in the Gospels where we really find the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6 is the one most commonly where we go, where he teaches the Lord's Prayer. But in Matthew 6 account, when it talks about the bread, "Give us this day our daily bread," he mainly expounds about your bread. You've got to come to the place where you learn to trust the Father for yourself. So you know the teaching there. Why take your thought for the morrow? Why you consider the lilies and consider the fowls of the air? And so that teaching there, now primarily, he's teaching, when he expounds on the bread there, he's teaching you that you have got to come to the place where you trust the Father yourself and not trust in the money. Amen? Here, though, Luke 11, when he expounds on the bread, it's a little different. The disciples had been watching Jesus, and they would watch, they'd see a pattern. He would get alone with the Father. He'd go up to the mountain, spend all night alone with God, and boy, they'd watch when he come back, and when he'd minister to the people, wow. Power would explode, blind eyes would open, the lame would walk, and all these wonderful things. And they'd watch this pattern. He'd go pray, and then he'd come minister, and there'd be power. So now they're asking him to teach them to pray. So we'll pick it up here in Luke 11, verse 1. It says, it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he starts off, and again, I want you to have the frame of mind, because you can tell from the answer he gives, he's looking on their heart. What they're really asking here is not, can I trust God for myself? What they're asking is, how can we have results when we pray? We see what happens when you pray. How can we have results like that when we pray? Would that be a good question for all of us? Amen? So he gives them the Lord's Prayer, and he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I love this. Thy kingdom come. Have we not been talking about this week? From that realm that's all possible, your will be done here. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. And he does mention, give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. But now notice this time, when he says, give us day by day our daily bread, when he starts expounding on the bread, notice he's not talking about bread for your eating. But notice what he says. He says unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Now notice why he needs them. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Now this fellow's not asking bread to eat for himself. In my mind, he's graduated to ministry level. His mindset is more like that of yours. He's been at this a while. I think all of you are at the point now where you can trust God. He can send you somewhere and you can trust him. But what we want to know is, how do we deliver the bread? And it's a great day when you finally realize you yourself have nothing to give them. Not off the Father's table. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. We can't serve the bread in our human ability. You know, I thank God for what man can do. Thank God, you know, we have compassion on deaf people. And thank God that there's hearing aids. Aren't you glad there's hearing aids? God has a higher plan for deaf people than hearing aids. I'm real thankful that there's people that train seeing eye dogs and all of that. I'm glad for that. But see, that's what man can do. If we get to serve the bread off Daddy's table, he's got a higher thought and a higher way for blind people than seeing eye dogs. Amen. So a friend of mine is in his journey's come to me. I have nothing to set before him. I need bread. I'm looking at Homer back there. My prayer is, Father, I need bread. A friend of mine needs bread. See, I got other friends in Tulsa that need bread too. So that's the subject here. So which of you has a friend like that, and you ask him, and then he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. Now, one time I was going through here and just meditating this and assimilating and praying, and the Holy Spirit asked me a question. He says, Gary, do you have any friends like that? And I got to thinking, people that I would really call friends? I don't think so. See, Brock might not like it if I bang on his door at 3 a.m. He may not like it, you know. What? What do you want, Gary? Man, I got a guy, he's starving smooth to death over here. We don't have anything to give him. I'm sorry to bother you in the middle of the night, but Bronk, you got some bread? I don't have any friends that would slam the door like that and say, no, don't bother me, just let him die. I don't have any friends like that. I don't even have any acquaintances like that. I'll be honest with you. I got a friend, an acquaintance next door, his name's Sam, and he's lived next to me forever in 3 days. And we're friendly to each. Hey, Sam, how's it going? Hey, Gary, how's it going? And that's about the extent of it, you know. We're acquaintances. But Sam, himself. And the guy two doors down that I just see him mowing his lawn every once in a while. I don't even know the guy's name. But either one of them, I guarantee you, they may not like it. They may not be real happy about it. But at 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, I come banging on the door. I said, I got a guy smooth starving to death. Could you please just loan me a few slices of bread? I believe even my acquaintances would get up and give me the bread. See, the point Jesus is trying to make here, he's going, religion keeps making your father, God, out to be something that he's not. Religion and circumstances keeps trying to paint this picture like, oh, don't bother me. Don't bother God, you know. Like he's reluctant somehow to give the bread. But notice what he says. He said, if there was even a friend like that, oh, my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. He said, even a guy like that, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, and that just means the fact that he's willing to come and ask, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Now, in plain English, Jesus is saying, I don't care how bad a guy that is. If you keep banging on the door, even that guy will eventually give you what you need. Now, he's contrasting our Father with that guy. See, religion wants you to think you're... I don't know how many services I've been in, but you got to storm the gates of heaven. What? To get him to do what he wants to do worse than you? Religion will make you nuts. Religion makes you stupid. That's what I'm telling you, he's trying to give us a real key here. A key to answered prayer is an attitude change in our heart. We have got to know who our Father is. Faith believes it receives when it prays. Otherwise, it's not faith. Is that Mark 11:23? You know, it doesn't get any much more simple. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Well, they're asking Jesus, how can we have results when we pray? And he's saying, well, first off, you're going to have to get a different picture of who your God is. Notice he's still talking here about friends, okay? He says, even that guy, even though he's a mean, ugly guy and normally wouldn't do it, if you even from him, you'll get it. But then he starts talking about our here he says God, you know. I say unto you, this is what his counsel is. You want answered prayer to you? This has got to be your attitude. If you ask, it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. Is there a stronger word than shall? There's not. He's not drawing any. He's not like a maybe so, once in a while, on a good day when God's feeling real good. He says, you got to have. You're going to have a heart change yourself. You've got to have an attitude change yourself. You want answered prayer? You want results when you pray? You better understand who your God is. He's more eager to deliver the bread than you are to deliver the bread. For everyone that asks receives, he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. Now notice he started off here with friends. If a friend shall go to him. Then he's talked about neighbors. But now notice he switches here suddenly to family. If a son. Notice now. Not talking about a neighbor anymore. Not talking about a friend anymore. Suddenly now he switches it to sonship. This is who we are. They didn't know it yet, but we know it, don't we? If a son. Notice how he switches this. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father. Will he give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then being evil, and he just means compared to God, if you know how to give good gifts unto your children. Now remember the subject. The way he answers this is vital. The subject was, how can we have results when we pray? Teach us how to pray so that when we pray, we get results like you're having results. Boy, there's a major clue here in the way he answers this. If you know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. Why didn't he just say, how much more will your Heavenly Father answer your prayer? How much? Why didn't he say it that way? Why in the world did he answer this way? Do you remember last night, that lesson I read to you from the face-to-face? Unless the Spirit of God moves, there has been no ministry. What he's saying is, you guys want to understand how the results happen? It's because when I pray, it looses the Holy Spirit to manifest the answer. I'm just going to let that sink in for a minute. It is incredible. What is not possible if the Holy Spirit gets involved? Go to John 14. John 14. Look, John's this way. When I was going through the face-to-face training, which I'm going through it again because all things have become new suddenly, he told me the first most important thing for me in those days was to become constantly aware that the Holy Spirit was with me. He gave me assignments. He said, talk to the Holy Spirit all day like he is with you, because he truly is. Talk to him all day like he's your very best friend, because he truly is. Be bold enough to ask questions and expect him to answer, because he is your teacher and he expects to answer your questions. He was talking to me, don't let this get past the walls of this church. He was talking to me as if the Holy Spirit is real. There's a line in one of the songs, I think we did it the very first day, and it says, I don't want to talk about you like you're not in the room. For years, my vision of the Holy Spirit was that he is with me, and that's really instruction I received, was to become constantly aware that he's with me. And I think about the 12 that Jesus would send out. Remember when he sent them out two by two? He sent them out to do kingdom work. And he says, preach that the kingdom, tell them, here's your message. The kingdom of God is at hand. At hand means it's within reach, it's available. And then demonstrate by healing the sick, cast out devils. Heal the sick, cast out devils, cleanse the leper. That's what I say. Devil and leper is a dever. Anyway. Whatever I said. But in other words, demonstrate it. Heal the sick, cast out devils, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. How did that happen? The Holy Spirit went with them. He gave them an assignment. He who has all authority. He gave them an assignment. Dave says it this way. It's like he put his mantle on them. By his words, he commissioned them. The Holy Spirit is omnipresent, is he not? And the Holy Spirit was with them. So when they would speak in the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit was the one that would cast out that devil. The Holy Spirit was the one that would manifest that healing. The Holy Spirit was the one that would cleanse the leper and so forth. Are we seeing how that works? So for a long time, that was my concept, and I even did it again this week, and it's okay because the Holy Spirit is with you. The Holy Spirit is with me. The Holy Spirit is with us, and he has been commissioned by Jesus to manifest the answers to our prayer. Whatsoever you ask in my name, he said, I'll do it. Now, but watch this. It took a long time for me to get this. See, this is in our very chapter where we have the famous, this is our revival verse, John 14, 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And as if we didn't get it, he hardly ever repeats himself in two consecutive verses. But here he does. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Amen? It sounds a lot like what he said over in Luke 11. If you knock, shall be opened. If you ask, you shall receive. If you seek, you'll find. Amen? Now let's keep going. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. This is that same Holy Spirit. Now notice how this is worded. That he may abide with you forever. Excuse me, I'll need to underline right there. That he may abide with you forever. That's the first instruction that I received those years ago. And I'm telling you, it makes a difference. And I'm also telling you, if you don't do something on purpose to change your awareness that he's with you, I already know the name of the devil that's going to take you out. His name is Samo. Samo, Samo. Tomorrow will be like today, and the next day will be like tomorrow. And on, you're busy, you get up, trying to survive during the day, handle the problems, Shandai, read your scripture, go to bed. The next day becomes like that, the next day. I'm warning you, weeks become years, and years become decades. And pretty soon your life, you go, what happened? And the devil of Samo took you out. You're going to have to do something different if you're going to have different results than what we've had in the past. Start talking to the Holy Spirit like he's real. Start whatever it takes for you to become constantly aware that the Holy Spirit is with you. Now notice, he said that he may abide with you. Notice how he words it, with you forever. The Holy Spirit is with you forever. Be honest with you, he's kind of stuck with you. He is. The Holy Spirit's, you know, when I was growing up, if they mentioned the Holy Spirit at all in church, he was like a dove. It was like very skittish almost, you know, like a dove. It's easy to, whew, you can, hey, and the dove will flutter away, you know. And that's the kind of the impression they gave me. Let me tell you, my experience, the Holy Spirit is the Marine of heaven. He is tough as nails. He is not skittish. He told me one time, he says, don't think our relationship is so fragile that I would abandon you when I see your faults. He said, I have seen you at your best, and I have seen you at your worst, and I still love you. Think you I would abandon you when I have seen you at your worst? He says, you have earthly friends that love you more than that. Think you not that I love you more than they? It's really hard to run off the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost will walk through hell with you. Enough on that. He's not skittish like that. You know what that dove, what that means is he is gentle. He is kind when you don't deserve kindness. He's gentle. He'll bring you back. Okay. So verse 16 again, I will pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter, that's the Holy Spirit, that he may abide with you, how long? Forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him. Now get this, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now remember who he's talking to right here. He was talking to the 12. They had already been out. They had been assigned. They had gone through the cities. They knew the Holy Spirit had to go with them. Remember, they were astonished when they come back. Even the devils are subject to us in thy name, you know. Well, they knew the Holy Spirit had to be with them. That's why he says, he dwelleth with you. But boy, something else is coming with the new birth. See, the Holy Spirit, he shall be in you. Now, he's still with you. Don't get me wrong. He just got through saying he's with you forever. But there's a difference now. Now, he's also in you. The real baptism in the Holy Ghost, he doesn't baptize your flesh. He baptizes your spirit. I like to say it this way. See, you know, where I grew up again, even after I left the denominational church and started getting around among the Pentecostals, how does he say that? after you receive the left foot of fellowship from the denomination, then you come over amongst the Pentecostals. But even they would say things about the Holy Spirit that just flat wasn't true. You know, like, oh, he's easily grieved. You know, you say one cuss word and, you know, he's left you and all this kind of stuff. That is not true. I have trust. Don't ask me how I know, but I know. Don't ask me how. Trust me, I know that he does not leave you, okay? And the thing of it is, when the first teachers in the Pentecostalism, they were coming across like you've got to get holy before you can receive the Holy Spirit. Like you had to get good enough. And pretty quickly I found out if that was the case, Gary was in a lot of trouble. See, if you could get holy without the Holy Spirit, you really wouldn't need the Holy Spirit. No. What makes it possible? Don't get me wrong, he is holy. Well, I mean, he's not called the Holy Spirit for no reason. What makes it possible for this perfectly holy being to come? I won't talk about you, we'll talk about to come into a clay jar like Gary. Well, because God created in me at the new birth, he created a holy of holies on the inside of me. There is a spirit on the inside of me that is a dwelling place for God's Holy Spirit. The type and shadow is perfect from the old covenant. The holy of holies, behind that curtain, that's where God's presence is. There is a holy of holies on the inside of you. It is perfect. It is pure. It is created by God. Now it's growing. You're maturing in that. But that the holiness of that nature that's in you is a perfect dwelling place for God the Holy Ghost. You know what you've become? The Ark of the Covenant. The type and shadow. You are the Ark of the Covenant. Think about it now. What was on the inside of the ark? How many remembers? There was three things on the inside. How many remember? I'm sorry? The Ten Commandments, yes. I will write my laws in your minds and in your heart. I'll write my laws into your mind and into your heart. You have the. Nobody has to tell you it externally. You don't have to raise the lid of the ark and look out. He wrote it on the inside of you. You already know it's wrong to lie. You know it's wrong to steal. Nobody has to tell you. All right, what else? I don't know why it does that sometimes. Anyone remember what else was in there? Another one? Aaron's rod that budded. And that is so, it wasn't just a dead stick of wood. That dead stick of wood came back alive and bore fruit. Is that not a type of you? We were dead sticks. We were dead in sin. And what did he do? He quickened us to new life. You have literally gone from death, that like that dead piece. You ever break a stick off a tree? Well, it's dead, isn't it? But supernaturally, God made you bud again. He brought that old dead spirit to life, and you are a living child of God. What's the third thing? Y'all remember? Pot of manna. Jesus says, I am the manna. I am the bread of life. But I think it also has a twofold meaning. Your provision and provision for others is always on the inside. You are never going to be without God's supernatural provision. Either what you need or to feed the others, you've got the manna from heaven on the inside of you. Is that good stuff or what? Do y'all remember the Ark of the Covenant? What would they do with that thing? When the battle came, what did they do? They'd go get it and they'd put it out front. Do you remember the power that would come out of that to slay the enemies? How many saw Indiana Jones, you know? Man, I'll never forget that, you know, man. Power. And we don't think about ourselves like that. That type and shadow, the Ark of the Covenant, that's you. Jesus was the prototype, but we have been made in that same image. You are the. When God wants to go to battle, he says, here's a good ark right here. Here's another one. And we're going, no. Yes. And power is going to come out of you. And you're going to slay the enemy. And I mean, Israel, all they had to do was like a mop-up operation. They just come in and get all the silver and the gold and take everything back because the power was the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. You remember that? Well, The presence of God was inside the ark. Okay? Now, let me read you some things again. We're going, old things have become new. This was again, this is even beef. Let's see. Okay, no, this was a little later. In prayer, the Holy Spirit began to teach me. In prayer, the Holy Spirit's going to teach you. Okay, now it may not be the same way, but trust me, He is your teacher. So He said this to me one day, and I'm just going to read it to you. And now keep in mind, you are the Ark of the Covenant. You have a Holy of Holies on the inside of you, and that's where the Holy Spirit dwells. If we really knew it, we're walking around full of throbbing, pulsating power. Now, look how He said it to me, trying to get it across to me. He says, I am not fragmented as you perceive me to be. You know, we talk about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. That's what He's talking about. He says, I am one, manifested as three. As the Holy Spirit, I am that I am. As the glorified Son, I am that I am. As the Father upon the throne, I am that I am. The understanding I want you to have in this season is to know that in you, I am that I am. Just, I double dog dare you to say that. In me lives I am that I am. He says, you would have trembled and quaked to have seen my power displayed from my presence carried in the Ark of the Covenant. You would have stood mute in awe as my wisdom was manifested unto Solomon when my presence dwelt in the temple made with hands. Why do you not tremble and quake and be in awe at my presence now dwelling in you? You are my temple, and I am that I am. Dwells in you. I double dog dare you. Hold out your hands. I am that I am. Lives in my hands. I am that I am. Fills this temple. Floods me spirit, soul, and body. I am that I am. Dwells in my hands. None diminished is the word that I am once again speaking to your spirit this day, says the Lord your God. I am none diminished, but I dwell no longer in the Ark of the Covenant. I dwell no longer in a temple of stones made by human hands. I dwell in your reborn spirit, spawned from myself. I am that I am. It was from this understanding that Paul wrote the words, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you. Didn't Paul say it? You can look it up later. That's Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. What is His good pleasure? You want to know what His good pleasure is? Look at Jesus. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Again, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. What did He do? Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. What does that mean? God the Holy Ghost. Yes. God the, that's the one He'd been anointed with. God the Holy Ghost, and He's with you, and He's in you. He's all around us. What I'm seeing from this, I don't know what dimensional crossings things that we've been talking about. I used to think heaven was a planet in our universe. Then I thought, well, maybe it's a planet in another universe. I think now, I don't like to use the word dimensions, or maybe realm is the best thing. I think God, when He says, I'm with you, if you could see me, I'm holding my hand like really close to my face. He is here. He is, this realm that he's in, it's not like far off like we think. It's here. When he says, I'm close as you, closer than your breath, he's not kidding. He, in him, we live and move and have our being. I mean, he's here. And here in my hands. God in my hands, yes. What's about to be unleashed on Immokalee?
Praise God.
What if we get this? What is going to be unleashed in Immokalee? What is not going to be possible? I am when I, yes sir, when I am that I am comes to town. And there was, God changed the world with 120 people. There's enough here tonight to change the world. And I mean from the least little gal. I saw a special several years ago now, a little boy, not much older than her. He had a gift for praying for bunny rabbits. In this particular show, they brought in a bunny rabbit with a broken leg. He prayed for it, and the bunny rabbit hopped off healed. And the interviewer, you know, we would like for you to, you know, he wasn't saying it quite like this, but almost like, we would like for you to give your theological reason why God would heal that bunny. And little boy goes, well, why would he not? That's the mentality we're coming to. Why would he not? That's Luke 11. The real message of Luke 11 is if you want to have power like you see me have power, if you want to see results, you got to change your thinking. I believe when I pray, he'll answer. You're going to have to believe it too.
God.
Jeez. Hallelujah. I'm going to read that paragraph, that sentence again. We got time. It was from this understanding that Paul wrote the words, and that's Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you. Just say it. It is God working in me. God is, I am that I am. God is working in me. I am that I am is working in me. To accomplish His will and His good purpose. Glory to God. That's what He said. He said, have respect and be in awe of the knowledge that I am dwells in you. He says, you should tremble and quake at my presence. Not that you should live in fear, but that you should give me honor and respect and be fully persuaded that what I say, I do. That's Luke 11. That's what Jesus was saying to us. The whole point of that is you got to change your attitude. You better change the way you think. He is not this miserly, stingy old man that has to be begged and pleaded and bargained with and pounded and stormed the gates of. No, you're going to have to change and understand that when you ask, He answers. And He not only answers, He answers with the power of the Holy Spirit. And when you pray, I am that I am goes into operation.
Thank you, Jesus.
What's about to be unleashed in Immokalee?
Praise God.
Let's think about it. Just this group right here. You got enough to change this whole... Southern Florida is not going to be the same.
Praise God.
Southern part of the USA is not going to be the same.
Praise God.
And it's going to spread, you know.
Amen.
So here he says again to me, he says, I am that I am dwells in you. Give me the honor and the respect that I deserve, so that I may flow more freely through you, my son. Have a fresh understanding of the heart cry of Jesus when he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Have you found respect and awe for your Father who dwells in you? All things are possible unto me. I say again, I am that I am dwells in you. Now, I'm going to go ahead and read the rest of this. Say out loud, I am mature.
I am mature,
I am mature enough to hear this.
I am mature enough to hear this.
He says, of my essence, all things consist. Nothing resists my will except those things where I have ascribed choice. I had to look up the word ascribed. I don't use the word ascribed. That ascribed means he gave it to you. He says, nothing resists my will except things that I gave the power of choice to. So he says, the waves resist me not. The clouds resist me not. The wheat resists me not. All things hearken to and obey my voice. The only resistance proceeds from those where I have ascribed choice. Cancer has no will to resist me. Even the mountains would flee at my presence. Ascribe not will where I have not ascribed choice. Did you hear that? To ascribe will where I have not ascribed choice is to live as one who spends his life beating the air to no avail. I have not ascribed choice to cancer. Cancer has no will of its own. Cancer itself is never your enemy, for it has no choice. To ascribe will to that which has no choice is to live in pagan religion. To live as those whose understanding has been darkened by the blindness that is in them. The wind has not choice. The waves have not choice. Storms have not choice. Sickness has not choice. To none of these things have I ascribed choice to resist me. All such things fall prostrate in obedience at the presence of I am that I am. And you carry within you my presence everywhere you go. We are the Ark of the Covenant. Each collectively and individually, we are the Ark of the Covenant. And the enemies fall prostrate before our God.
Praise God.
The last thing he said here was, tremble and quake at the presence of I am that I am dwells within you. If you want to look this up later, I think it's Habakkuk, H-A-B, 3:3 through 3:6. It says, God came from, and forgive me if I don't say the names right, God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. And his brightness was as the light. He had horns coming out of his hand. And there was the hiding of his power. Before him went the pestilence. And burning coals went forth at his feet. He stood and measured the earth. And beheld and drove asunder the nations. And the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting. That God, that one, I am that I am. Cancer flees at his presence. Our attitude has got to change. We little beat down, weakly little sheep run around by the devil. We have no idea who we are. We have not allowed this Holy Spirit to teach us these kind of things, raise us up higher where we go forth in the boldness of the Lion of the tribe of Judah and take this land for our God and our King and where be just like Jesus. I feel like he comes on this earth and it's like, this was my Father's garden. This was my Father's garden. An enemy has done terrible things in my Father's garden. And I have come to set things right. I will drive out this enemy everywhere I find him. I will restore things back to my Father's garden in the name of my Father by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we are on that same mission.
Yes.
And in the process, let them see the power of our God. Yes. They'll want to hear about your Jesus then. I'm telling you right now, you get some Muslim old boy and you get his blind mother healed, he'll want to hear about your Jesus. You get his little daughter restored from some damnable sickness, he'll want to hear about your Jesus. We've got to demonstrate the truth of the gospel to a lost world. Amen? Say it with me. I am that I am. Look at your hands again. Look at your hands. It's good for you. I am that I am lives in my hands. The power of Almighty God, the power of creation, dwells in me. I am the Ark of the Covenant. I have life on the inside of me. I know His mind and His heart. And I have provision. I have the bread from heaven to meet every need that I have and to meet the needs of everyone around me. I am that I am dwells in me. Ooh, glory. Give Him praise and honor. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, I think something's about to be unleashed upon Immokalee, this poor, unsuspecting town. It thinks it's just going to continue the way it's been. It has no idea what's about to happen to it. Revival is coming to Immokalee. Glory to God. Revival's coming to us. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, tonight I would like to pray for you. I'll make you a deal. If God doesn't speak, I won't speak. I can't prophesy unless He does. I can't really, but I'll tell you this. I'm pretty transparent. Y'all know me pretty well. God does some amazing things. And if you would like prayer, I'm just going to make myself available. Whether I don't care whether it's for healing. I don't know if I'll have a word for you or not. If He shows me or says anything, I'll be happy to do whatever. I may stick my finger in your mouth or worse. I don't know what He'll say. But just know that may happen. All right? So we might want to move the pulpit or kind of get it out of the way. You want to say anything before we start? Just come for prayer. And you just form a line. Ushers, I guess you know what to do. I would love to pray for you, Homer. After a message like that, even my faith is built up. Glory to God. I know the Father wants to manifest His presence in you, man.